This is Tim and Liz.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Time to welcome our guest into the studio. It is Ross Wilson from Cambridgeshire Music. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Yeah, it's not bad, thank you.
Good. Welcome to the studio. Now, we found out about you and found out about Cambridgeshire Music because we were looking through the paper last week, and there was an article written in there about a new series or a new guide and first of a new series that you're launching as Cambridgeshire Music about how to join a band and getting involved in bands. And I guess that Cambridgeshire Music is, well, it's all about music and getting people interested in learning a musical instrument or performing music or anything music related. Yeah,
exactly. It's pretty much all about, obviously we do all the teaching of music, but we try and give as many opportunities as possible for young people to see and get involved in music as well. The guides are really they're a starting point for us to say, how can we reach people who don't necessarily work with Cambridgeshire Music at the moment? But also, how can we help parents at home support their children? How can we show them what careers to go into? So this band's guide was a really good first one that I did. We see a lot of challenges in schools with kids wanting to form a band.
Such as?
So, for instance, it's am I good enough is the first one I always hear.
Yeah.
Am I actually good enough to play in a band? Well, actually, most great songs are only written with four or so chords. So you don't necessarily have to be the best guitarist, best drummer in the world to start a band. Another one is, do I actually have to perform live as well? Well, not necessarily. There's many great studio bands out there. Or you can just do it as a social get-together.
Yeah.
But some of the big hurdles that really pull it back can be equipment and space, time as well. These are all very big factors that often stop people from forming a band, or once they've got it off the ground, keeping it going as well.
Yeah.
So we do our best at Cambridgeshire Music to solve some of those problems with our School of Rock and Pop sessions, where we have the space and the equipment and tutors to basically help guide these youngsters to form in a band and eventually playing on stages like The Junction.
So what's the history of Cambridgeshire Music? How long has it been in existence for?
Quite a few years now. Definitely going back to probably when I was in school.
Okay.
And it's the music hub for the county, so it starts off doing just instrumental lessons, but it really has developed a lot since then, beyond just the classroom point. As I said, we run a lot of projects in conjunction with other people. We dip into the contemporary side, into music technology, and we've really discovered that the way music education's going, we need to be able to offer out as many of these extra things as possible. Just to show that music isn't just what is learnt in the classroom.
Yeah,
it's these careers you can get into. It's these places you can play. There's all these other jobs around it.
Yeah, exactly. You don't just have to be a musician on the stage. There's lots of auxiliary things that you can get involved with, recording engineer or sound technician or whatever it might be. So you just had a eureka moment, and you just realised that one of your children is involved in Cambridgeshire Music.
Well, no, what I realised is when I inquired, because I know Cambridge Music come into our primary school, and I was told that a guy called Ross comes in to teach some of the kids different instruments, and then I realised this is the Ross, which was lovely. So now I'm now signing my child up with Ross.
Perfect.
And so, I mean, you obviously go in during school time, which is great, and you can kids hire instruments?
Yeah, kids can hire instruments as well.
Because obviously the expense can put people
off. Yeah, certain instruments, I mean, things like ukuleles and guitars aren't too bad. But certainly when you look down some of the classical instruments, it can be quite a cost and to maintain as well.
But particularly when you're a young child, and this child might decide in a few months' time that they don't want to do this anymore. Yeah. And if you shelled out for an instrument and it just sits there gathering dust, then that's a waste of money, isn't it?
So we do have a stock of instruments that we do rent out, and it can be really worth it for that reason. You know, try that first term. If they don't necessarily like that instrument and want to change to another instrument, which we've seen quite a few times, then yes, you've not spent hundreds of pounds on a violin or a guitar.
Is there a certain age that you would tend to start with in terms of learning? Is there when the child is old enough to be able to start taking that information in?
It's a tricky question, that. And I think all tutors have different ways of saying when's the best time to start an instrument. It also depends on what instrument you're doing as well.
Yeah.
So like same with guitar, which I teach, I quite often start year one and twos on ukuleles. just because it's better for their size. Mm. And then most of them will just either continue with the ukulele, or when they get to a year three kind of age, they'll swap over to the guitar. But for piano, I've taken students down as young as 5 years old. We do run some projects as well, early years projects, which go even younger than that, just to introduce students to sounds and instruments and being creative with them.
Yeah. Do you find that some children are more naturally gifted than others? Some of them pick it up. Maybe some of them, maybe their parents play an instrument or something.
Again, it's another argument out there of, do some people have talent? Do you need talent to play a musical instrument? You don't need talent to play a musical instrument. You just need time and dedication,
yeah,
I think. And that's a very big hurdle for bands as well, is you've got to put in the time and the practice at home. The best students that I see are the ones that I know when they come into lessons, or I know when they come into our workshops, they sit at home, they put the time in, the parents help support them as well. Mm. And these are the ones that really, really get it and flourish with their instrument.
Yeah. So how long have you been involved with Cambridgeshire Music for?
About 6 years now, I
okay.
think.
Okay. So have you seen children that you've worked with from a younger age now growing up? And
yeah.
They're obviously their skills with musical instruments developing, or they have formed a band. Are there any particular yeah. examples of people that you can cite as good examples of,
yeah,
of your work?
Yeah, there's some really good ones. We started the rock and pop side about 3 or 4 years ago now. Mm. And we've seen some really good examples of, we've had students that have come in and they've actually never played an instrument before, and we just throw one into their hands, a bass guitar or some drumsticks. Mm. And over those years, they've formed a band, they started writing their own material, they won their battle of the bands in their schools that they do, and recently they ended up playing at the Fiver, at the Junction.
Yep.
So it's really nice actually to see them just coming into that first workshop and going right the way through and making it to, you know, performance on a really good stage in Cambridge.
Yeah. The Fiver is a great example of an opportunity for young bands to be able to not just perform, but perform in a venue that is professional, and you get the whole sort of experience as to what it's like in a professional band.
Can I ask something? So I know if you're going to start a band, do you need... I mean, obviously, it depends what kind of music you're going to play. It's obviously easier to start with covers, isn't it?
And yeah.
Do you need a singer, a bass guitar, a keyboard? What kind of basics do you need in a band?
So, two people can be a band. The band that I'm in now, we just started as two guitarists. And it kind of comes back to, you've got to be patient. It took us a year to get everybody we wanted. Obviously, we have now... two guitars, bass and drums. But we started as two guitars and we stayed like that for quite a while, and we actually just did acoustic gigs because that's all we could get into. And then eventually we found a bassist, we found a drummer, struggled to find a singer, so I went, you know, I'll give singing a try. So now I've ended up doing singing as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's very much, it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen straight away. Sometimes you might have somebody join the band that doesn't quite mix with you as well. It doesn't have to just be you get on with them musically. You need to get on with them socially as well, because it's all about communication at the end of the day. So I think my main advice there is just be patient if you're struggling to find that one person to fill the lineup. But it depends what style of music you like to play too. Not all styles of music will need that full band lineup. Mm.
And so what band are you in at the moment?
So you can probably tell from the attire, I'm in a metal band. It's my bread and butter and what I love to play, not the only thing I play. But the band I'm in at the minute is A Killer, and we practice over at Rhinocorn Studios.
Okay.
And we've only been together about a year now. Like I say, it took us a long time to get to where we are. And I've been through quite a few bands that just didn't quite gel with the musicians or... we didn't get on as well. The commitment level wasn't there.
Hmm.
So what I like with these guys is we're all on that same commitment level. We all want the same goal at the end of the day. Musically, again, we're not necessarily all the same level, but what we play works really well together.
Yeah.
So it really just comes back to that communication point, and that you don't all have to be fantastic to play.
Hmm. Do you get, when you're teaching people how to play instruments, that they're particularly into a particular style of music or a particular artist, and that's really what they want to learn? And is that maybe, is that something you would encourage, or do you have like certain artists or songs or things like a baseline that you would begin with and say, no, let's start with this first before we go and learn something that's maybe a bit more complicated?
It's a fine balance between the two. One of the first questions I ask any student on that first lesson is, what music do you listen to? Or what do you like? Some say, I don't listen to music. But actually, when you're that young age, you don't necessarily know the names of the artists.
No.
Or you just know the style. Yeah, some students just want to play one artist. I get a lot that just want to play Ed Sheeran. I'm like, that's fine with me, because if that's what's going to get you learning the instrument and get you passionate about it, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
What will happen is the more you play it, the more you'll start to discover other genres and other music out there, and then you just let them find their style. No student I've taught has stuck with one artist. They've gone away, they've talked to their parents, they've found out what their parents like to listen to, and then they start liking that as well.
Yeah.
So there's a really good influence there.
Yeah.
When I started learning the guitar, which I tried a little bit of, apparently Oasis songs are quite easy to learn, is that right?
Yeah, I love playing Oasis songs for the acoustic guitar, just because they are all simple chords, and they're the sort of chords you can learn in your first few weeks of guitar. Then the challenge just comes playing along with the song. But Oasis is just one example of many, many artists that are out there where the music can be simplified a lot. So you're not necessarily playing exactly along to the track, but you could sit there and strum along to the track, and that can feel like a really great achievement.
So tell us particularly more about Cambridge Music and what you guys are doing. So you do work in schools, but you also run workshops in certain places at the moment.
Yeah. So if I talk on the contemporary side with forming the bands, we do the School of Rock and Pop workshops. And we run these at the minute in Cottenham, Soham, Linton Village Colleges. And we got one starting up in Trumpington Village College soon as well. And it's very much, it's related to the guide, in that we have tutors that help you form bands, learn how to arrange songs, and we teach them songwriting. And we try and get to that point where they can perform live if they want to. Or we record the songs for them as well. Okay. And we try and get some students involved in learning how to record songs, because it's a very... You don't have to have a big budget to record a really good sounding demo these days.
Especially not these days.
So once they've formed the band, we like to give them those skills of actually how can you record a good demo from your bedroom? And how do you get that out to the world as well?
So do these classes, do they run between certain times? Do you have to join at particular times?
Yeah, all of our information is on our Cambridge Music websites, but they all run after school for an hour and a half. And it's about £30 a term for 10 sessions.
Right.
So
that's really good.
We try and make all of our stuff, ensembles and things, as cheap as we can, really, because we're a non-profit organisation. For us, it's about getting as many people in and experiencing, and us being able to help them get to where they want in their musical career.
Yeah. And the guide, you said, is more based for people that want to learn maybe at home or can't get to a session or don't want to in that environment.
That's it. I wrote it initially because going through the School of Rock and Pop and working with these young bands, I always saw the same problems popping up over and over, which is ones we talked about before. So I thought, well, I'll write a guide that actually helps them understand some of the things we're teaching them. But yeah, also hit those bedroom musicians that some of them are really fantastically skilled but don't necessarily know how to get out there and meet other musicians, and then what to do once you've met them. So really I just wanted something that helps our students but could help anybody else just over those first few hurdles.
Yeah. And that's on your website as well?
Yep, all on the website, all details, all instrumental booking. Basically, all information can be done through the websites. You can just make an account and then pick whatever instrument or ensemble you'd like to join.
Cool.
It sounds brilliant,
doesn't
it? It sounds really brilliant.
It's very inspiring, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And what I love as well is I mean, like anything in life, it's confidence, isn't it? And it's just having people that you can kind of ask and mentor you a bit. And I love the idea of people that are really talented just hiding away in their bedrooms, but actually...
Oh, there's loads of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't like that because I want them to get involved in the music scene. They could bring something really great into the local music scene. Yeah. And Cambridge does have such a good local music scene with places like The Junction actually doing these nights like the Fivers.
Yeah.
You've got the introduction shows. There's a lot of opportunities for these young musicians to actually get out there and start to build a good reputation.
Yeah.
And what I've noticed as well through the music that we play and you play is there's a lovely community as well. I think they all really support each other. There's a really nice feel to it.
Mm. And that's a very important thing as well. That's one thing we touch upon in the guide, which is like how to get gigs. It's always a really big thing. Like, I've got my set list, I've got my songs. How do I actually get a gig? And there's a lot out there about, you can do it through social media, and technology has helped us connect a lot more. Mm. But I really believe you still have to do that groundwork of going out to gigs, going out to local events, and actually just talking to bands and artists. That's, networking has always been an important part of music. You can do it through social media and online, but it just doesn't quite beat that actually seeing these bands play live, being like, yeah, I'd like to play with them. We quite often, when we're in the studio just rehearsing, we gather a little sneak around and we actually listen to the other doors. And we found a couple of bands like, yeah, we like the sound of them. Yeah. And we'll just grab them for a conversation when we're finished. And they might be that little bit further on than you. They may already have gigs lined up or no promoters. So it's branching out into those networks.
Yeah, but that means a lot if one band comes up to another band and says, hey, we like your stuff, because you're on sort of that same level, and so that there's an instant respect there when someone says that to you. That does mean quite a lot.
And I also like the idea, like you said, there's so many other careers around music. It's not just necessarily about being in a band or playing, but you could do, I don't know, how many different things related to it.
Yeah, well, that's it. And we try and support those things as well. Mm. Music technology is a big thing I like to support. Because I've grown up knowing people who aren't musicians but have a fantastic ear for music and for sound and how it works. And they're just great recording engineers.
Yeah.
And they don't have to play an instrument. Same with promoters. You could have a really good business mind and be into music. You don't have to play an instrument. You can get involved in the industry. And I've seen some of our students, as they've left these like rock and pop workshops, or they've gone off to college and uni, they've started to engage in that side a little bit more. Some of the students I had in a band now run all of the music technology and all the soundboards and lightings at the schools for all the productions. It's like, that's fine if that's the direction you want to go in. That's where you're passionate about.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks,
it's been great to meet you and hear a bit more about it. I should probably give a plug for the Cambridge Band Competition at this point, because entries close next week, 31st, and they do have an under-18s category. So if there is anybody, maybe from one of your workshops, that's interested in getting involved in the band competition,
definitely,
that's an experience as well, because the heats are at the Portland Arms, and that's a cool place to play. So, you can apply on the Cambridge Band Competition website. You can find it on Google. Thank you, Ross.
Thank you very much.